I'm always reminded of a little story that a preacher told me one time when we're preaching to a small group, and the one that's doing the preaching has prepared a lesson. And he tells a story, and he said that the preacher had prepared a lesson, and it was about an hour long. And there was only about 20 people showed up out of a normal 40, 50, 60 people. And when he was all done, it was out in the country, and one of the ranchers went up to him, and he started talking to him about his sermon and the length of his sermon. And he told the preacher, he said, look, he said, well, I've got 100 head of cattle, and only 80 of them or 20 of them show up, and I've got a whole load of hay. I don't dump the whole load. So I'm always reminded of that story when I'm preaching to a small number. It reminds me of Paul saying that he preached till midnight. There isn't any real record of when he started, so we always got to keep those things in mind. Tonight I want to talk about wisdom. Most of us are aware of what wisdom is. You know, the simple definition of it is it's the ability to put our knowledge to work. But it goes deeper than that. As I looked into this, and I started to study in James, and it took me back into several other things. So I just want to share a few things with you. I think, first of all, it's important that we actually have a definition of what wisdom is. By Webster's definition, wisdom is an accumulated philosophic or scientific learning. It's the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships, an insight. It's having good sense or judgment. It's having a wise attitude and a wise course of action. It's the ability to take your knowledge and be able to put it to use. That's the definition out of Webster's dictionary. Now, I just want to look at a few passages tonight as to what God has to say and what the Bible has to say about wisdom. And I want to start in Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28, we're going to start in verse 12. It reads this way. It says, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man doesn't know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. The sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Now, these are all illustrations because these are precious metals, things that we can put in our own mind and say, wow, it's more valuable than all these things. In verse 20, it goes on and it says, from where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? Verse 21 says, it's hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. So as we look at these verses, we're now starting to, at least I am, wisdom's something I can't buy. It's more precious than anything I could ever think of. And we're trying to understand, where does it come from and where's this place of understanding that we all want? It's concealed from the eyes of all living. It's concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens. To establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure. When he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it. That's from God. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now, that's not a fear like being afraid of God or afraid of the Lord. It's having a respect for Jesus. It's having a respect for God. It's wanting to do what God wants us to do. It's opening the Bible. It's studying. We work this verse over and over and over, but it's so vital to what we understand in 2 Timothy 2:15 and following, to study, to show ourselves approved. That's where we come about. Solomon prayed for wisdom. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to understand that having a rapport with God, not a fear like we sometimes think of as being afraid. And then it says, and to depart from evil is understanding. So it only makes common sense that if we understand what we're reading and we understand what the text is that we're trying to read, then that understanding from that, coupled with the wisdom of putting it together, will guide us away from evil. But I thought it's interesting that wisdom comes absolutely from God. We can't generate it ourselves. We can't buy it. We can't just happen into it. We get it from God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verses 1 through 9 here. First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And I, brethren, when I come to you, when I came to you, start this over. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Paul's telling the church here in Corinth, when I was there, I didn't come with eloquence. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul didn't want to teach anything else. Today, we don't want to teach anything else. We don't want to get into things that are not scriptural. We don't want to get into things that introduce man's opinion where God says it's one way. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Take note right there. He makes a notation here of human wisdom. My speech, my preaching were not persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. He tells them that, and he said in verse 5, he says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Mm-hmm. We're going to see in James, and James is going to explain this a little better, but we're seeing here that there's two different kinds of wisdom. There's a heavenly wisdom, and there's a worldly wisdom. And Paul's saying here to this church, we don't want your faith put in the wisdom of men. We want that faith put in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. So this was before all that happened. And then he goes on in verse 9, he says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Back to what we saw in Job. Wisdom comes from God. Understanding keeps us from evil. It lets us turn away from evil. And these things, Paul's saying again, the eye hasn't seen, the ear didn't hear, nor have they entered into the heart of man, those things which God has prepared for those who love him. So we're starting to see a contrast here of two different types of wisdom. Now, let's go to James. James chapter 3. We'll start with verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. There's a whole lot of action in this verse. He says, don't have bitter envy. Don't be envious of others. Don't have self-seeking in your heart. It's not all about me, even though sometimes we'd like for it to be. And we live in a world today that it seems to be that way. And James is saying here, don't have that bitter envy. Don't have self-seeking in your hearts. Don't boast and lie against the truth. Now, obviously, he's talking to here about false teaching. And he's talking to the Judaizers that were doing it. And he's saying, don't do that. And then he goes on into verse 15. He says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. It's sensual. It's demonic. That's the earthly wisdom that we saw over in 1 Corinthians. That's the wisdom that we saw back in Job, where it says that we don't even know what that is, but we know that the wisdom that we need to deal with comes from God. And Paul's saying, James is saying, if you've got this bitter envy and you've got this self-seeking in your heart, and you're boasting and you're false teaching, that wisdom doesn't descend from above. You've gotten that from man. It's earthly. It's sensual and it's demonic. In verse 16, he goes on and he says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, what happens? Confusion and every evil thing are there. Okay? So, let's look at verse 14. Bitter envy, self-seeking hearts, boasting, and lying against truth. That's lying against God's word. That's false teaching. That wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. And where that happens, envy and self-seeking exist, and there's confusion, every evil thing is there. Now, that should lead us out of wanting to be in the world. And as we look at the world, and as you know, most of us have come out of the world into Christianity, and we understand that there's envy and there's self-seeking existing out there. We understand the confusion. We understand all the evil that's out there. James has laid the groundwork here, and he said, if you're doing these things, then you're living after man's wisdom. This wisdom gives the person the ability to get in trouble without being caught. Stop and think about it. A lot of times we call it streetwise. The ability to do things without getting caught. It gives the ability to be in trouble without being chastised. We look at gangs today. We look at the evil things that are going on out into the world. Well, it doesn't matter what you want to say. It's there. And it's people get in trouble, what we would say trouble, and they're patted on the back for it from their buddies. Way to go. Robbed a store. Got by with it. Committed adultery. Got by with it. Way to go. It's being streetwise with no shame of what's going on or what's happening. It's a worldly wisdom that demonstrates evil and wrongdoing and is completely against what God wants, expects, and demands. That's one kind of wisdom. It's laid out here. It was laid out in 1 Corinthians. Now let's look and take the other side of the coin, verse 17. James comes back in, he says, but The wisdom that is from above, what about it? It's first pure. There's no blemish. It comes from God. We talk about things that are pure. We talk about pure water. We talk about pure living. Those are things that, you know, that we can put our thoughts into and understand. And we know that a purity is the absence of anything that's not supposed to be there. So when we're talking about the wisdom that's from above, at first it's pure. It doesn't lend to the fact of doing evil stuff. Then it's peaceful. It's calming. It's gentle. We talk about being at peace with ourselves. We talk about being gentle with ourselves and gentle with other people. And if we have understanding of those words, then we're understanding more about this wisdom that's from above. If we understand that it's pure and it's peaceful and it's gentle, it's calming. You get rid of all the butterflies in your stomach, if you will. It's willing to yield. It's saying, okay, God, I'll do it your way. I'm not going to be self-seeking. I'm not going to be boastful. I'm not going to lie against the truth. The wisdom from above, first pure, then peaceful, then gentle, then willing to yield. Now, James says it's full of mercy and good fruits. God's mercy. What more can we ask for? What more can we strive for in our life than to know at the end, when God calls us, that His mercy will put us with a home in heaven? Good fruits. If we're doing what James is saying here in this verse, we'll have good fruits. Good fruits produce good people. It's without partiality. We're not partial to anything. We're partial to God's word. There's no hypocrisy. There's no saying one thing and doing another. That goes on, doesn't it? Verse 18. He says, now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So this wisdom, this fruit that James is talking about, he now says that this fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we see now, to me, a very clear definition of being with man's wisdom or with God's wisdom. Man's wisdom is full of all the evil. God's wisdom is full of all the good. That's a real simple way to put it, but that's where it is. That's what it is. If we have an understanding of God's word and we have a wisdom about us to be able to put that understanding of God's word to work, then we have the ability to shun the evil. The wisdom, this godly wisdom gives a person the ability to take God's word and put it to good use. It gives us the ability to study God's word and understand what He wants from us. It gives us good sense and judgment. Well, hopefully anyway, if we're following God's word, we're going to have good sense about what we're doing. We're going to have good judgment about the way we conduct our lives. It gives us an insight with a wise attitude and a wise course of action. That attitude and that course of action is going to determine whether we're going to go to heaven or we're going to spend the days with Satan. It's a heavenly wisdom that lets us be the type of Christian person that God wants us to be. The being able to shun evil. The being able to say, nope, not doing that. So, the question that I would have, not necessarily to this group, but to a large group of people, are you filled with worldly wisdom or are you filled with heavenly wisdom? You know, all through the Bible, God has told us and it's become very clear that He has made us so that we can make choices. And that choice to follow God or follow Satan, that's our choice. We can do whatever we want to do. God says so. But He said, beware of the consequences. Because if you're going to follow Satan, that's where you're going to be in eternity. Mm-hmm. If you want to follow me, then that's where you'll be in eternity. Do we want gnashing of teeth and fire, or do we want his description, gold streets and a nice place to live and no tears? We sang a song a little bit ago. Be no tears in heaven. That's what's promised to us. Mm-hmm. Well, let's stay with that heavenly wisdom. Let's have the ability in ourselves to say no to the things that are out there in the world. We issue an invitation now. Those that have not had an opportunity to put Christ on in baptism, we give that opportunity. We also have an opportunity for those that might need prayers of the congregation. If you have any kind of a need in your life, let it be known as we stand and sing the invitation song.